And back with us again today on the Seeds of Transformation podcast with Dr. Alma Johnson is life coach, wife, ordained minister, Mrs. Michelle J. Johnson. Bridging the gap with grace and discipline will be our topic today. Listen, in a world where divisions often overshadow unity, let's remember the essence of our faith. Love, grace, and biblical truth. It's not about drawing lines, but building bridges. Today, let's embrace our differences with humility and understanding, extending grace where it is needed while standing firm in the timeless truths of the Bible. Let's journey together in this, y'all, hand in hand, as one body in Christ. You ready? Let us begin. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us here at the Seeds of Transformation podcast, where I have back with me, I told y'all she was coming back, Michelle Johnson. Welcome again, Michelle. We're so happy to have you joining us back here again. Michelle was on our last podcast where we discussed bridging the gap with understanding. As many of you know, I'm releasing a book coming up real soon, right around the time of May this year, 2024, and it's titled Exits to Unity, Bridging the Gap Between the Traditional Christians and Millennials. Well, today, I prayed. I said, Holy Spirit, keep her right there, please. I do not want her to go. We need to keep this flowing. And he has been moving. He moved in our last conversation. He moved in between with our discussion. And Holy Spirit is still moving now. Our topic for today, if you listen to Michelle's last podcast on the bought lesson, she is awesome on that podcast. And you need to go back and listen to that. She has a wonderful podcast. And that podcast, she spoke on grace and discipline. So I took that. I said, Lord, we need grace and discipline to bridge these gaps, to bridge this gap between the traditional Christians and the millennials. So today's topic is bridging the gap with grace and discipline. Michelle, welcome back again.
Thank you. So good to be back. I'm glad I got to hang out a little bit more with you.
Yes. And continue this. I said, Lord, don't let her go, please. Just keep her right there. We got to keep this moving. We got to keep this moving. If you don't mind just sharing a little bit about yourself. I know you did in the last podcast, but just refresh our memories and tell us about Michelle. What is Michelle doing? What does Michelle have going on?
Yes. So again, I am a licensed minister. I am the host of the Bought Lesson podcast. I am a certified professional life coach. I work in human services, particularly in the nonprofit space. And yeah, I love Jesus. Did I say I was a licensed minister? I think I did.
Yes. Yeah.
But I'm also a wife, a daughter, an aunt, a friend, a sister. I love people. I love God. And yeah, my life's work, of course, is to just do both, love God and love people. So glad to be again with you and your lovely audience.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's good to have you back. And this topic of bridging the gap with grace and discipline, this is the very same grace. Now, the grace that follows us all the days of our lives, the grace and mercy, that's something that only God can do. But we can definitely extend grace to others, forgiveness to others. But the grace to others that we can extend, we definitely have that. But then partnering, aligning that with discipline, that was just huge for me to listen to on your podcast. And I said, we've got to talk about that, because this is going to help us to bridge the gap, to come together in unity. And being in unity with one another, that is a form of spiritual warfare, because the enemy does not want us to be together as one body on one accord. He despises that. So I have a few questions for you today about bridging the gap with grace and discipline. How can traditional Christians and millennials agree on what's important, knowing we're all human, knowing
You know, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But knowing that we're all human, how can traditional Christians and millennials agree on what's important to ensure both groups appreciate both grace and discipline?
So good. I think ultimately it all comes back to what scripture says, right? Everyone was created in the image and likeness of God. We are all what we call image bearers of God. And so I think that there is a level of honor and respect that just should be there and it should exist. And so I think that when it comes to traditional Christians and millennials agreeing, first of all, you got to agree on scripture, especially if we're all believers, right? Of course, there may be interactions with unbelievers, but when we talk about the body of Christ, it is very clear, especially in the New Testament, that God desires that his children in the body of Christ walk in unity. For goodness sake, he calls it a body of Christ.
Can we stop there? A body with many members, but the body of Christ. Yes. Love it.
So it doesn't matter what your background is. You're still a member of the body if you're in Christ, right? I can't say to the hand, I don't need you, right? The foot can't say to the nose, I have no need of you, right? Like even scripture talks about that. So I think that there is a certain level of honor and respect that we should have for one another that should allow us to be able to dwell in unity. That's the whole point. And even when it talks about in the Bible, it says that people will know that we love one, that we love God by the way that we love one another.
Yes.
I think that love ultimately is the undercurrent, right? It is the foundation. And even the Bible says God is love. So if we're coming together as a body of Christ, if we're coming together in unity under God, right? Yeah. That's what we need to consider: love, unity, mutual honor, respect for one another in how God has created all of us. So we're different, right? All members of one body, right? Different members. Everybody is different. Everybody serves a different function. However, we're all meant to come together in unity. So if unity and love is at the forefront of your mind, then it should be a little bit easier to come into agreement about those things that matter and about those things that should matter.
Yes. Wow. I love that. Love at the forefront. Unity at the forefront. Being one body on one accord. At the forefront. One body, many members. That's so good. So tying that in with love, respect, being kind when we make mistakes without ill thoughts or intentions.
Yeah.
How can traditional Christians and millennials, again, with the kindness, how can we be kind? You being a millennial, me, I would say classifying myself more of a traditional Christian. How can we be kind to one another when we make mistakes?
Yeah.
Still following what the Bible says about discipline, about grace. How can we do that?
Yeah. It's so funny that even this is the Lord, y'all. This is just the word of God. But I can't help but think about 1 Corinthians 13, like verses 4 through 8, right? Where the Bible gives us a description of what love is. Mm. We have a pure definition of what love is. It is patient. It is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It does not exalt itself over another. It is not rude. It doesn't keep record of wrong, right? And there's some more stuff that I'm probably missing, but I know it says it rejoices, like love rejoices in all things, in those things that are good. It rejoices in the truth.
Yes.
It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things, right? And love never fails. if we just, first of all, give the Holy Spirit our lives, right? These are not things that we can do on our own. That's why they're written.
Exactly.
Like, we are not going to naturally be patient. I'm not going to naturally be kind. It is more likely that I'm going to naturally keep a record of wrong. Okay. That's pretty natural that I'm going to do that. However, if my life is yielded to Christ, like I say it is, then I am going to be more inclined to yield to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is going to remind me, hey, Michelle, love is patient. Right? Like, if someone has wronged me, or if someone has fallen, you know, into whatever, a sin or whatever it may be, if there's a conflict that's there, am I practicing patience with that person? It all kind of goes back to that accountability, right?
Yeah.
Now it's personal accountability. It's me being accountable to what the scripture says I should do when it comes to loving someone. If I'm in the body of Christ, I ought to love my brothers and sisters. I ought to love everybody. Really, we're commanded to love folks, even our enemies.
Yes. Oh,
that's Bible.
That's not
okay. Okay. So if the command from God, and let's just get real with the commands and the law. Even scripture says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourselves. I should love you just as well as I love myself.
Yes.
If I'm struggling to love myself, it's probably going to impact the way that I love you. Right? But even the Bible says that loving your neighbor as yourself, loving God, that commandment sums up the whole law. So when we consider the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder, you shouldn't steal, you know, you have no God, you have no other gods above God, you know, no false idols, and all of these Ten Commandments, the Bible says that all of that is summed up. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and if you love your neighbor as yourself, if that is what God says that I should do in order to fulfill his law, then I must look at the biblical definition of love and carry it out.
Yes.
So how can we be kind? By yielding to the scriptures, by yielding to the Holy Spirit, because we live in flesh, and it's pretty and it's a beautiful color. And it's smooth, and we bathe it, we moisturize it, and we clothe it.
Yeah.
Okay, you all these things.
Yeah.
But it is always seeking after its own desires, and the Bible says that the flesh is always with the Spirit.
Oh my God!
Right. So I can't depend on Michelle and how I've, you know, just been naturally formed and fashioned. I can't depend on her to be patient and kind and not keeping a record of wrong and not being rude and all that.
Oof.
I can't depend on her to do that. She doesn't do it well on her own, trust me.
Yes.
Trust me on that. Right? So if the goal is for traditional Christians and millennials to dwell together in unity and love,
yeah,
then we have to submit to what the Bible says that we should do and how we ought to carry those things out. Period. And we have to hold ourselves accountable to actually doing it, right? Like, and I know it's always easier said than done, but if you are yielding to the Holy Spirit, he will teach you all things. He will help you execute on those love scriptures, right?
Yes.
It's here. And then you ought to be humbling yourself under the mighty hand of God, right? And if I'm humbling myself, then I remember what it felt like when I was wallowing in sin, right?
Okay.
And not to say that I don't sin at all, because I still live in flesh. Let's just be honest, right? And so there are things that I do wrong. And I think that even that level of transparency and remembering your own sin, right, also helps bridge that gap.
Mm.
I remember, you know, growing up in church, you know, and I have people pulling my skirt down and, you know, telling me not to get pregnant and all of that stuff. Can I just be honest?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then I found out that some of those same people who were tugging at my skirt and telling me not to get pregnant had children out of wedlock. And I see old pictures of them from the 60s and 70s with hat pants and short skirts and all of that kind of stuff. Not to say that they don't deserve to have their past because they've been delivered from it. But if they would have approached me and said, baby girl, listen, I've been down this road.
Yes.
If it would have just kind of been a little more transparent in that dialogue, yeah. then two things would have happened. Number one, I would have received the message a lot better. Mm-hmm. And number two, I might have had some tools that would help me when I started facing those temptations out in the world, instead of having to figure it out by myself, fall into sin, start being vulnerable to the enemy's attacks, because then he's got me feeling like I can't talk to God because I've done things wrong and all of this stuff. And so had the message been delivered with some transparency and some honesty and some remembering of what it looked like when you were doing it, and had you communicated that to me, then I'm been a little better off even in my walk with God. So when it comes to bridging the gap, that love and that unity and that humility, right? And
yeah.
Transparency is huge. It's huge.
Wow. I feel like in my spirit, there's a collection plate. From
Cash App and dollar something, M-I-S-N-M-J, right?
No. Oh my gosh. You have sown an ultimate seed of transformation. I'm so grateful for you. My God. Transparency. Instead of approaching someone in perfection, that we are transparent. Now, this is not saying you got to tell all your business. It's not what we're discussing. That's not what we're sharing. This is not what we are sowing as a seed of transformation. But as you stated, because even with myself, had someone said, hey, and this is how I approach people. Hey, I've been down that road. In my book, I discuss my journey with practicing yoga. Been down that road. This is why you don't want to do this. This is why you should reconsider this or that. This is why, because I've been there. And let me tell you what happened. Now, this is not to say that these things are going to happen to everyone, but sowing that seed, like you just did, for those who are viewing and listening, of transformation and being transparent, honest, and open in our conversations, definitely that will change our walk with Jesus Christ. Most definitely. I feel like this next question that I have is, I don't know. I feel like I'm going to be laid out on the floor in a minute here. But can you share, would you mind sharing some simple steps? I even hate to, I think they will be simple, because God has a plan for each and every one of us. He has a plan for unity for the body of Christ. But would you mind sharing some simple steps that we can take to create this culture of Christian community that recognizes that we must allow grace?
Yeah.
Even greater. Even with that, what about the open conversations, tying what you just said into open and honest conversations to help traditional Christians and millennials get closer? You pretty much almost already touched on the previous tie-in to that question. You did a great job. Thank you so much. I'm like almost kind of discombobulated right now. But getting closer, having those conversations to talk, ensuring we all know how important grace is, oh, as well as discipline is. Can you share?
Yeah, I'd love to. It's very key. And I think, again, it all starts with that humility and love. I think that even shifting the way that you have the conversation,
yes.
Right? If you're approaching it from a viewpoint of love and humility, number one, what it starts off with is expressing that your goal is to help.
Yes.
Right? Like sometimes, even if there is a conversation that involves discipline, even spiritual discipline, to approach the person first by expressing that your desire and your goal is to help them, that opens it up for them to maybe receive what you have to say. But you also have to pay attention to their response. If a person is not receptive to what you have to say, I learned this even in as a life coach in training.
Okay.
Be curious. Be curious. Ask them questions about their struggles or why something is hard for them. Or, you know, and these conversations can go in very different ways. But if you're approaching someone in hopes of turning them to a different path, you need to be curious about why they're on that path in the first place. You can't just tell me to pull my skirt down. You might say, sweetheart, I see that your clothing is a little provocative for your age, or just a little bit provocative, period, right? What made you, like, what do you like about your outfit today? Like, what do you like about it? Because there's a reason why I chose to put on the clothes that I have. So what? Be curious. Don't just say, now, baby, why you picked this out your clothes to wear today to church?
Right.
Or whatever, right? Like, what made you think that this was a good choice? Then what do you like about your outfit? You know, it seems a little provocative to me, but maybe I'm just behind on the times, right?
So
approach it with curiosity. Approach these conversations with curiosity, because that does open up the door for transparency. If I tell you that I picked this skirt because I just thought it was cute, then maybe that might open you up to say, you know what? I used to dress in a very similar way and I thought it was cute too. And as I got older, I realized that I was inviting, you know, a different type of attention, or it really was rooted in insecurity, because sometimes the short skirt, we know, we curvy women, the short skirt is going to invite the same attention as the long one sometimes, right?
Okay.
You know, but let's just, you know, we can say, like, it was rooted in insecurity. I was actually looking for attention from the wrong people instead of turning to God. Or maybe I tell you that I'm wearing this skirt because this is all right for us, and I'm gaining weight because I'm talking from experience. These are situations that I've been in. Sometimes my dress is tight because I'm gaining weight because I'm stressed and depressed.
And I
don't have money to buy anything else. And this is all I have. And because I was raised right, I know I should at least dress up for Jesus when I come in here on Sundays. So this is what I have. Oh, my stuff is tight. And it was approached with curiosity instead of judgment or some opinion that I did not invite. Then maybe there could be some collaboration. Maybe if people knew I was struggling with depression, they would approach me differently. Maybe if people knew that I was broke and a college graduate with no job for over a year, they'd be inclined to give me some old clothes that they have or take me shopping, right? Like, so whenever you're approaching anyone with a conversation, and you would love for them to turn in a different way, or you feel the Holy Spirit, right, leading, and you ought to be walking by the Spirit when you do this, just saying. But it's not healthy for the body for us to be approached with these preconceived notions that you think you know about that person, but you may not.
Woo! I told you. Oh, my goodness. If you are driving right now, I really don't know. Hold on to the wheel. Maybe you need to stop. Get you a bottle of water, some coffee. This is so much to absorb, but it's so good. And I just want to say something. This is not just for the ladies, okay? This is also for the gentlemen as well. Because it's not just the women or the millennial women or traditional Christian women that struggle. We all have struggles, but also the millennial men and the traditional male Christian has struggles as well. So how we approach what you said, Michelle, I've heard approaching without judgment, because the same grace that God has given to you It's the same grace that he gives to us all. I'm so grateful for this, bridging the gap with grace and discipline, because the Bible teaches us discipline and how we approach one another in love and kindness. The fruits of the Spirit, what we talked about before, what is love? Who is love? Holy Spirit guiding us into all truth. It's just so much to pull the layers back on here. So much that we need to hear, Miche. Once again, I am so grateful that you joined us. You can reach Miche on her podcast. I'm going to let her tell you a little bit more about that. But this is just so much. It's so much. And I'm very, very grateful. If you wouldn't mind sharing with the people, those watching and listening, about your podcast, please.
Sure, I'd love to. So the Bot Lesson was birthed out of my grief, honestly. And so I lost my father at the start of the pandemic. And I just had a lot in me that needed to be released. And so the title of the Bot Lesson is what it is, because my daddy used to always say a bot lesson is better than a taught lesson any day. And so what he meant by that is that generally when it comes to lessons that we learn in life, if we have to pay for it, we'll probably learn a lot more and a lot more deeply than if we're just taught the lesson by someone else. And so so really I utilize that podcast to just express lessons that I've learned through experience. And also with the relaunch, I am just having desire to have more conversations with people. I really also wanted to launch that podcast so that people could just kind of get in on some of the conversations that I was having with my friends. We talk and it leads to conversations like this.
So
I wanted to give people an opportunity to just kind of have a listening ear in some of the amazing and fruitful conversations that I have with people that really helped me grow. And that's what it's all about, right? Learning the lessons in life and actually growing from them. So you can catch the Bot Lesson on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or whatever major podcast streaming platforms you have. But it's just that, the Bot Lesson by Miche J. Johnson. And you can also via Spotify reach out to me directly if you have any feedback, things like that, or would like to support the podcast. I'd love for that to be an option for you. So you can certainly catch me there. And you can also catch me on Facebook at Miche J. Johnson, especially the way my name is spelled right here. I do have a public page that I will also be releasing some more content on and kind of reviving that as well. So yeah, feel free to reach out.
I'm so happy for you, Miche. I'm so excited for what you're doing for the Lord. I'm so excited for what you're doing for the people. I'm excited too, as well, to get my new book into your hands. So stay connected here with the Seeds of Transformation podcast. We're going to release some more content that is going to definitely sow a seed of transformation for you. Miche, I'm going to close us out in prayer. Everyone, please keep Miche in your prayers. God has a definite plan for her. I'm so grateful. Lord God, we thank you for what you are doing, for what you've done for all of us today, sowing a seed of transformation. Closer to you, Lord God, is what we desire. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, Lord God, that still follows us all the days of our lives. Lord God, thank you for Miche and the vision, the dream, the goal, the plan that you have given her, Father. Let it prosper and be abundant, all for your name's sake, all for your glory. Lord God, strengthen her in her home, in her life, in her marriage, in her work, in her businesses. Father, whatever it is that you desire for her to do, let her delight herself in you. Therefore, you will give her the desires of her heart. Father, we thank you all for it. We thank you for it in advance. We thank you for the victory she has won. We thank you for being God. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again, Miche. God bless you. And I look forward to all of you joining us here again on the Seeds of Transformation podcast. Take care, everyone.
My goodness, I know you are about ready to hit that repeat button to listen again, and that is quite all right. Thank you for joining us here for another episode of the Seeds of Transformation podcast with Dr. Alma Johnson. Don't forget to leave a review. And until next time, stay inspired and keep growing in all things of God.